Well, let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
I just want to do that to put smiles on your face. Some of y'all got a little solemn there, in which we should have some reverence this morning. But I just stopped by to tell you that although we may be in a state of reverence, our hearts should be filled with joy. Our minds should be running amok of how glorious this season and opportunity is. Although it may be a little solemn this morning, don't miss the fact that our Lord is risen indeed. For those that have not had an opportunity to meet, I am Herman Baxter. I am nobody special except for a servant of God. And it has been shown this morning, my family is here with me, and I'm honored that they are here. But I like to say that I'm your brother. I'm your brother in Christ. Some of you I know not only through DTS, but some of you I know who spending some time with. And I'm also grateful and honored that the Lord has blessed your pastor, Sten Erik, to allow me to stand before you this morning. And so, if you wouldn't mind, I'd just like to read that last few verses of John chapter 11. And it said there in verse 56, they were looking for Jesus and asking one another as they stood in the temple, what do you think? He won't come to the festival, will he? As I think about this day and this time, my mind starts to drift a little bit. And when my mind starts to drift, I start to think of songs and movies. Now, I don't have a particular movie in mind, but it is quite interesting to me that I notice in certain movies, they put what has come to be known as little eggs in movies. Not an actual egg itself, although some movies could be an egg, but that's a different story. But they put these little symbols in movies. Sometimes it's a name. Sometimes it's a character from a previous movie that if you paid attention, you'll notice like, I didn't know that they were there. These little snippets in movies. These little snippets in movies kind of help us understand what's going on, not only in the plot, but sometimes what the whole story is about. If you get a chance, some of you have not watched Disney movies in a long time, take a look. A movie not so long ago was Frozen. Go ahead and sing the songs with me this morning. Let it go. Let it go. Some of the dads are like, oh, not again. But I remember watching Frozen again for I don't know how many times. And you start to see the same castle that was in previous Disney movies. You start to see characters, watch this now, from a Disney movie that you didn't think would fit, such as Toy Story characters in Frozen movies. Disney, like so many other artists, they want us to see these little eggs to keep us attached to the main narrative of the story. Here in John chapter 11, it's the same thing. I'm not calling Lazarus an egg, but I'm saying that this miracle, the seventh of this book, keeps us in line with the whole theory, story, and narrative of the Gospel of John. Did not he say in John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh and did what? O come, Emmanuel. And here, the gospel writer is saying, don't lose fact that God has come not only in the flesh, but he's come to redeem us. If you don't mind, I might start to shout this morning because I start to realize that the Gospel of John I would not normally turn to at the time of Christmas, but I'm so glad I did this morning. Because this morning I just want to look at the sights, the sounds, and the season of Advent within John chapter 11. In this world today, we have so many negative things that are happening. I know some of you have already canceled your newspaper subscriptions because you're tired of trying to get to the back page when everything on the front page hinders you. You're tired of turning on a television set if there wasn't for so much negativity. Some of us have even gotten, you know what, I don't even like to watch the weather report anymore. There's so much improbability in the weather report that I wound up becoming discouraged about even leaving the outside of my home. John picks up the same situation here in the story of Lazarus because we see that Lazarus, a man who John not only writes about, but a man who Jesus loves, is sick to death. Have you been sick to death in this past week? Something that's been going on inside of you so much that you don't even know how you're going to get out. Is there something that's crushing you that it feels like you have already been laid in your tomb? Advent season for everyone is not a happy season. This is not always the most wonderful time of the year for everyone. There are too many people, and I would probably say there might be someone here today that's not sure how they're going to make it. And so your first point of all these sights that they're seeing, these colors around the sanctuary, starts to confuse them. Because they're not sure who this Jesus is that you keep talking about. Because we're so quick like the world to run to the store. And yet we don't pause for the person on the floor. We are so quick to be consumerists, but we're not so quick to be economists and tell people about Christ. This story here, it started, like the song said, to arrest me. Because Advent did not just start with the baby in the manger. John says, no, I'm not going to start you there. I want to start you about a story about death. I want to talk to you about how the raising of Lazarus is not only a historical event, but a spiritual restoration. Lazarus is sick unto death, and Mary and Martha are upset, and they start to say, where is Jesus? I know he loves us, but how come he didn't stop on by? Did I not send a messenger to tell him that, hey, your friend Lazarus is dead? Did he not switch from Sprint to T-Mobile and get the signal that I sent to him? Can you hear me now? The story of Lazarus is kind of interesting here because you're like, hold up, why John 11 during this time of the season? I think those famous words hits right on point. I am the resurrection and the life. The sights that we see is that the people are standing there in Bethany mourning and bewailing, wondering why or why did Lazarus have to leave? But some of them, the disciples more importantly, were saying, where or where is Jesus? Are you looking for Jesus even at the time of death? Did you see how the sights that you saw were people in grave clothes and people just sitting around not knowing what to say and how to say, but yet Jesus, look at him. He says, I know that Lazarus to you seems dead, but he's really asleep. To you, it looks like it's over, that it's done with. But you know what? I am not going to rush to the situation. I'm just going to stay here a while. Have you experienced that you're saying, where is Jesus? I'm looking for him. I don't see him. I thought you said he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. I thought you told me that all I had to do was just pray a little while and he'll come see about me. Don't we sometimes lean on the psalmist in Psalms 42? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? But the psalmist says, hope in God. But I don't see him. Where is he? He's right where he needs to be. As the young lady said earlier, Advent is a time of waiting. It's a time of seeing not with your natural eyes, but seeing by faith. It's a time in realizing that Jesus is just not here to perform a miracle, but he's here to be light and life to a dying world. Can you see Jesus? Are you looking for him this morning? I mean, it was so interesting to me as I looked at this passage. I said, Sten, why today? Couldn't you, like, give me, you know, the normal one? You know, the baby in the manger. You know, we like preaching that one. Oh, the baby in the manger. But Sten says, no, that's where the Lord guided me. And I start to see and I start to understand that when you look for Jesus, it's not a visual sight, but it's a sight by faith. Paul picks it up when he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Even the Greek word that you see here is saying that as a sight, not just a seeing with the natural eye, but that of an inward understanding of what's going on. And if you look for Jesus, even in this passage, you start to understand what's going on in that Lazarus is representative of many of us this morning, that we are so far from God that we're dead. We are used to activity within the church, but we're not used to sitting still. Can I grab Mary and Martha for a moment? At the time of this death occurrence, we see Martha doing what she normally does. She gets out and gets going. You know, Black Friday sale. She gets out. She runs out to Jesus. Hang on a minute. I'm going to send a messenger. Hey, go tell Jesus the servant's dead. And she gets into all the activity, which is normally her norm and her custom. But don't throw Martha out too quickly, because you do the same thing. Herman Baxter gets to the time that he doesn't even stop for Thanksgiving because he's worrying about what's on my daughter's Christmas list. I don't stop for a moment and to see how the leaves are starting to change, and it reminds me that there is a God somewhere. I don't even start to realize and start to see that the picture of the Salvation message is so plain in Walmart as it moves out the Halloween items and put in the Christmas items. I don't look for Jesus because I've become accustomed of all the activity and all the service. And it reminds me that maybe I should be like Mary. Where do you see Mary at in the story? Mary is sitting somewhere quietly. Can you see her? She is just patiently waiting. What is she waiting for? I don't know. The scripture text doesn't tell us exactly what she's waiting for, but this one thing I want to try to imply, if I could, that Mary, her, if you see her in the gospel message, Mary always winds up at Jesus' feet. And I wonder if the Lord was trying to remind Herman Baxter, are you looking for Jesus at his feet? Or are you just looking for Jesus because people brought him gifts? Mary says, I'm just going to sit quietly. Go on, Martha, do what you got to do. I know you got to run out there because JCPenney's giving 25% off. Macy's getting 15% off. Nordstrom's, I heard, even putting the clearance on the clearance. Go out there, Martha, do what you got to do. But Mary says, I'm going to wait here privately. And Mary says, I'm looking for Jesus as I always look for Jesus down in my heart. Have you had an opportunity to sit quietly and look for Jesus? Take a moment, if you wouldn't mind. Even the Christmas lights you hang up in your home, just stand there and look at the lights for a moment. Let the lights start to dazzle your eyes. Can you really see the twinkle, or are you just looking for the bulb that's burned out? As we look for Jesus, we look at, see what's going on, and it's interesting to me in this passage here with Lazarus, there's a lot that we can see. A man has died. People are crying. Disciples are a little curious. But if you look by faith, you see that Jesus delays so God could be glorified. Lazarus is not dead. He's just asleep. That ties into the other part of Advent that, guess what, one day we all will sleep. But in a moment, in a twinkle of not a light bulb, but a moment, a twinkling of an eye, we shall rise and see him just as he is. Somebody preaching with me this morning. That's all right. And so the first point I want to say that we look for Jesus, not on the sights, but then we also look for Jesus in the sounds. And I know what you're saying, Lazarus ain't making a sound. That's true. But the other people are making a sound. Have you listened to the sounds of your neighborhood this week? I mean, the sounds of my neighborhood is kind of interesting because I'm going to raise both my hands. We're guilty. We don't know all our neighbors. But this thing we do know, that people are hustling, bustling, going somewhere. Even our garage door, I think my garage door is mad at me because it's squeaking now, Brother Happy. He's like, it's up and down, people going everywhere. And we're wondering, what's with all the sounds? This is Advent. Don't they know that? Oh, maybe they don't know that, because one sound that you don't hear is many Christians telling the true story. The sound that we hear is actually the sound of silence. And here in this passage with Lazarus, everybody is so quiet because they want to give Mary and Martha an opportunity to be with Lazarus in their emotions. They don't want to disrupt because they're grieving. And guess what? Many Christians are teaching the world, don't disrupt the fanfare that's going on with spending a dollar by telling them, do you know that Jesus really is the life and light of the world? No, no, don't bother them while they're at the cash register and you see that they $5 short and you just reach into your wallet and you give the cashier $10 to pay for their items. Now, don't show them how they are of a different race, nationality, and color than you, and then instead of you sidestepping to the other side of the street, make some noise and walk up alongside them and say, hello, how are you doing today? Do you hear the silence that's going on? Because we don't want to disturb anybody. I love how Advent is kind of like an disruption. It gives a moment and an opportunity for people to say, you know what, maybe there is someone and something better than me. I'm taking my time and walking through this because I realized something. I didn't grow up with a liturgical calendar. So all this is still kind of new to me when we look throughout the year and I say that there are people who actually take the time and to see what God is doing through a calendar, not Hallmark, but through a calendar. And it's painting a story. And the story that's starting today is painting that, yes, a child will be born by a virgin, but don't stop there. Don't be quiet and silent at Christmas time. Arrest the sound. That's a good word. I'm going to use that. Arrest the silence and shout aloud. It's interesting here with the story of Lazarus. When it's time to be kind of quiet, Jesus weeps, but he's not weeping because he's trying to give them an opportunity. He's weeping because we don't understand the gravity of what sin and death has caused in this world. And he wants to shout aloud, but he says, you know what? My time has not yet come, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that you read in my word what I'm going to do in the future. Jesus, I love how he does this. He talks to Martha, and we see the dialogue there. Jesus, he addresses Mary, he sees the dialogue there. But it's not until a crowd forms and he says, Father, I know you hear me always. It is to those who don't know that we should shout aloud. It is to those who are wrapped in death clothes that we should say, come forth. We are not God, but we are his vice regents, amen? We should say at Christmas time, not just deck the halls, we should say, hey, Jesus Christ is born. As a matter of fact, say it just like that. Don't worry about saying Xmas or Christmas. Just say Jesus is born. Can you do that? Can we take care of the solitude and the silence of this world by saying, guess what? I am going to a place. It's called church, but you can call it a building if you want to. And we're going to go and we're going to celebrate this guy, this man, this God who has took on flesh. Why you want to do that? Well, did you have a moment in your life when you didn't get a gift? It got quiet in here, didn't it? Because some of us, we know what it's like not to get a gift. I know we try to be humble. We're like, well, that's okay. I understand. No, many of us even like that ugly tie and pair of socks that we get because someone has given something to us. How do you think the world feels when we don't give them the gift of Jesus? How do you think they feel when they're in their silence and solitude? Because out in public, they making a grand thing. Yeah, man, this is good. They swiping credit cards, ain't got no money. They going on trips, ain't got no home. They talking about, yeah, I'm going to the Christmas party at work because ain't nobody at home to go home to, so I might as well hang out at the Christmas party. There's silence and solitude here. And God wants us to arrest that silence and solitude. Like Jesus says to Lazarus specifically to come forth, God wants us to go out and to tell people, come forth. Come out of your dead situation. Let me help you unwrap your grave clothes by showing you the word of God. And guess what? You don't have to take your ESV, your King Jimmy, or your NASB to rest them with that. All you got to do is show a little love. Can you show a little kindness? Can you show a little grace? Can you give out a little mercy? What about some thanksgiving? Can you pray with them? Can you just hold their hands when they're suffering? Can you give them a ride? Can you allow them to walk on your grass even though it's trying to grow? Would you allow them to have a drink of water even from a dirty cup? Would you buy them a meal? Would you get them a hamburger? Would you leave your diet and give them a double bacon cheeseburger, large fry, and a strawberry milkshake? How is God calling you not only to see him, but also take care of the sounds of silence that you hear around us? Have we forgotten that as a church, that is our greatest call? Our greatest commission is to go out and tell others? And guess what? We don't even have to practice the script. It's already given to us. We don't have to worry about if our nouns and verbs agree. We don't have to worry about if we have a degree or no knee. Meaning we can't get up. You just need to tell people about Jesus. We just need to say, hey, there's a story. I know it sounds strange. It was kind of weird to me too, but watch this now. There's a story of a man who was born a virgin. You know, his family was kind of messed up because the mom and daddy wasn't really finished being married yet, but they were together. And, you know, she got pregnant and everything. Now, don't ask how they got pregnant, but it was a new thing. The Holy Spirit came up. I know the Holy Spirit is kind of weird. But guess what? There's this family. They were together. And guess what? Because, you know, they look kind of strange, people didn't want them around, so they had to try to hide. So you know how what people do when they get in trouble. They leave town. You know, we used to send their cousin down south because we didn't want nobody to know that we're pregnant. So that's what happened to them. So they went down south. But guess what? They came back and they tried to get together, but there's this king that wanted to get after them because guess what? The child was special. I know what you're saying. No, not special, special, but special, unique. I mean, this is a weird story because I don't know why the king would. I mean, he was just a baby, but the king had to take him out, had to kill him. So he put on taxes. It shut down the educational system on them, took away health care. He did all these things because of this one little child. I don't know what was wrong with the child. The child was pretty cool. Child went around doing nice things for people, helping out people. Matter of fact, the child hung out in church. Now, who wants to hang out in church as a child all day? They ain't got no youth programs, got no PlayStation going on. But I tell you what, the child, he goes into this place, church, or they call it a temple back there, but they would read the things about it, and then the child says, guess what? What you're reading is really about me. And people's like, he's crazy. But the child didn't grow up, and he grew up, guess what? He actually listened to his parents, and he listened to his father, not the stepfather, Joseph, but the real father, heavenly. But anyway, he actually listened to him, and he went out, and guess what? He told other people about how he came to help them. They're like, what do you mean help them? Like, give me $5 when I need it? No, not give you $5. I mean, I'll help get your, you know, ox out of the grave, and I'll help the person that's blind. You mean he paid for the health care? No, he just, someone he spat and put dust on their eyes, and other ones he just said something to them, and all of a sudden he did this thing. Man, this is a crazy story. I know it's a crazy story, but let me tell you more. What's that, man? I'm telling you what, this man was so cool when he got older. Guess what? He went out, and he did more miracles. Matter of fact, the people that hate him, they said, show me another trick. He says, okay, I'll show you another miracle, but you're missing the whole point. And they were like, man, you can't do that stuff because you must be of the devil. He says, no, I'm not from the devil, but you're from the devil because you don't really believe who I am, but I'm going to go about my way. And every single time he confronted them on Facebook and on Twitter, they tried to take him out, but they couldn't take him out. So he went on about his way, and then you get to John chapter 11, and here it is, the hinge point, because in John chapter 11, he raises a man from the dead. You mean he was asleep? No, you mean he went clear? No, he didn't do that either. He waited 4 days. Wasn't he stinking? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. He was stinking. And he raised his foot. Man, Baxter, you are crazy. Not crazy, man. I'm just telling you the story that I read. Well, how do you know that it's true? Because the Bible tells me so. Oh, man, I don't believe the Bible. But you ain't got to believe the Bible. You got to believe the words in the Bible. And if you believe the words in the Bible, you'll come to realize that what I'm telling you sounds fictitious, but it's real because it's real in my life. Because I remember when I didn't see Jesus and I sat in a pew just like you and I said my Christmas verses and my Easter verses and I went to my programs and I went to my pageants and I made sure I did the good things because I'm a good Christian. And then one day I realized as I was sitting in England, as I'm hanging out playing spades and I'm drinking with other people, that somebody says, you know, that stuff in Jesus is not real. And I stood up even in my drunken state like Caiaphas and I said, that stuff is real. You don't know what you're talking about. They're talking about, Baxter, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the stuff in the Bible is real. No, it's not, because if it's real, you wouldn't be acting like one of us. And I was convicted. Amen. The silence was broken because of my conviction. And I tried to use a little humor, but I really want to arrest you this morning and let you know that even in the story of Lazarus, there's Advent. Even in your life, there's Advent. And the Advent comes from not only from the sights that you see and not only from the sounds, but my final point, the season. the last verse that I read here in chapter 11, verses 56 and 57, it says, the Passover is nigh. And it's very interesting to me because I started to think for like, whoa, hold up. You already blew my mind because we're talking about raising a man from the grave and how that points to how Christ came to raise us from our own grave. And then all of a sudden I see what the high priest and they're doing in this false court. Man, we're going to read about a false court again later on in the story of Jesus. But how Caiaphas, even in his state, now watch this now, not his full conscious state, as the paragraph says here, but Caiaphas is not really realizing when he says, I need to protect my nationalism, he's not realizing that he's saying killing Jesus for all of us. Caiaphas is also saying here that I'm speaking of maintaining our current order so the Romans won't get mad, so let's kill him. He's not even realizing that, guess what? You are speaking into the real reason for the season. The season that I'm talking about is that Passover is here and people are going forth to purify themselves. Advent season, my brothers and sisters, is looking for a way in the manger, no crib for his head. But Advent season is also, we're pointing towards the Passover. We're going somewhere over these next few chapters that you'll continue to walk through in the Gospel of John. But John wanted to stop here in chapter 11. It says, here's a hinge point. The first 10 chapters, I did all these miracles and things in Galilee. I'm traveling. But here on from chapters 12 to the rest of the book, I'm going to one destination. And the destination I'm going to is towards the cross. Is that not the whole purpose of John's gospel here? To preach to us redemption? And so guess what? If you're feeling like Lazarus this morning, hold on just a little bit longer. If you feel a little frantic like Martha this morning, go on, do what you have to do, but come back quickly. If some of you are even silent like Mary and waiting patiently, I'm here to tell you, Christ has come. Because the reason for the season is not a ritual purification, but is that Jesus comes and sheds his blood to wash us whole and cleanse. The reason for the season is just not we come here for our status and our traditionalism, but the reason for the season is to say that I have hope. Why? Because just like the candle was lit this morning, one candle was lit for our soul. His name is Jesus, and he is coming, but are you looking for him? The people here in this passage, they were looking for Jesus just to see if they get a newsreel moment. They were looking for Jesus, say, will he really come out to the temple? I want to see this. I want to be up right up front so I can get my selfie picture with him, the man that's going to die. But the real reason for the season is, guess what? Passover is coming. Passover is coming. And so I believe our Lord, he wants us to enjoy Christmas. He wants us to get back into why we enjoy Christmas. Give our gifts from the heart, not from the wallet. He wants us to enjoy Christmas because I have come. It's not just a moment of prophecy in Isaiah. I have come. He wants us to enjoy Christmas because guess what? Maybe for this time of the year, because we miss Thanksgiving, we'll come together as family. And we'll sing, and we'll put up wreaths, and we'll have the incense going, and we'll do a tree, live or real, doesn't matter. We'll put up lights. We'll look at our fellow image bearers and say, God bless you. We will take this moment of Advent in anticipation to say, Jesus, the Messiah, is coming. Are you looking for Jesus this morning? I pray that you are. God bless you.